The following podcast is brought to you by the Dominican University of California. Greetings and good day to you all. Thank you for tuning in to the Backwoods Show. Lace up your boots, grab your packs as we explore survival in the great outdoors. I'm your host, Jay, and remember, you're never just a mile away. Welcome back to this week's podcast of the Backwoods Show. Thanks for tuning in. This week, we're going to explore first aid for survival situations. This week's podcast is a very special one, as today I am joined with a special guest named Ellie Hannigan, who has spent plenty of time exploring and studying the great outdoors. She's also graduated with a bachelor's degree in biology and has also dealt with numerous camping, hiking, and rafting accidents while working for the National Forest Service. Dealing with many different situations when a life is on the line can be stressful, but not for Ellie. Hey Ellie, thanks for being on the show today. Glad you could make it down here. How are you?
I'm great. Thanks so much for having me. It's such a pleasure to be down here in California. It's a great change from the rain up in Washington.
Thanks again, Ellie, for coming out and joining me today. I really appreciate it, and I'm so glad you're able to share your knowledge with me and many listeners. So, today we're going to go over first aid and its inheritance to unexpected survival emergencies. Today we're going to be talking about different topics regarding first aid and different techniques that you can also use. But to begin, let's find out more about Ellie. Ellie, where are you from and how has that influenced you?
I'm originally from Central Oregon. I was born in Portland, but I currently live in Kitsap, Washington. And my whole entire life, I've just been surrounded by the outdoors and my family has always loved the outdoors. I grew up around the Cascades and Mount Rainier, Mount St. Helens, Mount Baker, and we've always explored the Olympic National Parks, including Mount Olympus and the Hoh Rainforest, which actually has some of my absolute favorite hikes out there. And I just think all of this has just inspired me to want to be outdoors, whether that's with friends and family. And yeah, bottom line, that just inspires me for my endeavors.
Thanks for telling us about that. Washington is a very cool state. I personally like Cascadia with all the different mountains, and also, like you mentioned, the Olympic National Park. It's very beautiful. With that being said, why do you think first aid knowledge is important?
Well, you know, for starters, it's Mother Nature, so we have absolutely no control over what's going to go on out there. We can barely even make a guess because, you know, it's just so unpredictable. For me, it also, having first aid knowledge builds my confidence in various situations. So when I'm in the outdoors, I'm not like taken back by anything that could happen because I'm confident in my skills. It also just helps me be more self-aware so I don't injure myself or injure other people around me. I think another thing is like you never know when you're going to need it. So always having that knowledge is something that's good to have in your back pocket. I also like to think of like, if I come across another adventurer, like, and they need emergency help, I want to be the one to be able to help them. I don't want to sit there and watch them suffer or anything worse happen to them because I didn't know my knowledge. So I think it's just really important and really versatile to have that first aid knowledge when you're out and about in the outdoors.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Mother Nature can be very unexpected, and you never know what's going to come at you next. Prepared with the right gear and right skills is very important, like Ellie said before. You do not want to go out and have your trip cut short by a bad injury or something else like that. Since you've experienced a lot of different outdoor situations, what would you say your must-have first aid items are, if there's one, two, or any?
Oh, wow. Well, obviously, for starters, I always have some sort of Band-Aids on me in just a various range of sizes. I bring like the little small ones for like a little poke, but I also try to always have with me like a bigger wrap bandage, like an ACE bandage, just because I like to be prepared for the worst. I also include a little bit of gauze there with me. And of course, I have some sort of antibacterial or alcohol wipes just to clean anything. I also, this necessarily isn't for like first aid, but I always carry extra paracord with me because it's super light. It's super compactable, but it's also super, super strong and sturdy and can be used for so many different things. But going back just to like the antibacterial sort of stuff, like I like to always have that because there's so many different infections and stuff like that out in the wild that, again, I can't control. So I like to be prepared to fight any of that, because if I'm on a multi-day trip, I want to be able to remain safe. And if anything were to happen with an infection, I want to be prepared to battle against that.
Yeah, that's a really good point, to have some sort of antibacterial or something along the lines of that, because last thing you want is to have an infection and then that ruin your trip, or possibly that infection getting you sick and then making your trip even worse. And Band-Aids are something that a lot of people I've seen not carry around in their first aid kit, which doesn't really make any sense because they seem like one of the most commonly used, as you said. Now, back on the topic of danger, what's the most dangerous national park you've been able to explore and why?
Oh, wow. Most dangerous national park. Well, not... this isn't my most dangerous trip, but definitely the most dangerous national park I've been to would probably be Denali National Park up in Alaska. Just for starters, Mount McKinley, the tallest mountain in the U.S., sits up there. And just a fun fact, that's actually 20,130 feet in elevation. Just for those of you who didn't know, I thought I'd throw that in there. But... you know, I think it's just dangerous because it's super, super rural. So if anything were to happen, like help is really far away and really hard to get a hold of. But also just like the unknown wildlife. It's like there's such a dense population of wildlife, the grizzly bears, the moose, like the elk, all the wolves, everything is up there. And you never know where they're going to be because that's their home, not ours. So we are invaders technically to them. So just those unknowns. I think most of it just stems from it being unknown. The rapid weather change, that the winds that come in there that you just can't predict and can't perceive ever happening. And the temperatures also are something where it can be really dangerous if you're not properly prepared or you get stuck and you run out of your preparations. That just adds a whole nother level of dangerous. And not to mention the glaciers. And what if the glacier falls off the side? What if there's like all sorts of things that are so unpredictable, like the avalanches and everything. Like there's nothing you can do if there's an avalanche up there, and chances are help will not get there in time for you to make it out, which is kind of harsh, but that's why it's so dangerous. But that's also why it's so important to be prepared and know where you're going. Sorry, I'm rambling, but yeah, that would be the most dangerous national park, would be Denali.
I noticed before that you started that last one, you said it wasn't your most dangerous adventure, rather the most dangerous national park you've been to. When was a time your first aid skills were needed, and when was that most dangerous adventure?
Oh boy, this is a story. Sit tight for this one. It was me, my dad, and my uncle, so my mom's brother, which that comes into play later on. But we were whitewater rafting in a river up in northern Oregon, and my dad has like pontoon boats and stuff, so it's like the blow up bananas on the side and like the metal decks and stuff on there. And me and my dad were in a two man because I was probably freshman or sophomore in high school, and my uncle was in a single man. And in order to do this, like there's different classes and all that sort of stuff, which is totally different knowledge. But, you know, we had planned out, okay, we're going to drop in here and then we're going to get out like at this other point. And just backstory, so it's kind of all over the places. My mom was pregnant with my younger brother at the time. And so, you know, pregnancy brain, whatever, that sort of stuff. And my dad had told her like verbally where we were going, but never wrote it down anywhere. So side note, another safety piece, if you're going anywhere, write down the location you're going and give it to somebody. Anywho, we go out there, we drop in, it's great, we're doing great. We have our family dog Wrigley, a yellow lab, with me and my dad on the thing. We're going down, you know, splashing around, whitewater rafting, and all of a sudden we miss our like pullout point, and we're like, oh, okay, this is not good. And so my dad's like, okay, like next opening spot, we'll pull to the side and we'll get out. Well, by then it was too late. We had hit the class 4 rapids, which for those of you who don't know are very extreme, like professional rapids, which my dad and my uncle were pretty experienced, but not that experienced. And so my uncle was behind me and my dad, and all of a sudden we just hear like screaming and a commotion, and we look back and my uncle has flipped his raft. He tried to go down a different side of the rapids than me and my dad, and it just didn't work out that great. He was really light, so it ended up flipping. And my uncle has a severe heart condition where he has to take heart medications every 24 hours in order to keep his heart rate stable, blah, blah, blah. Like some serious medical stuff that we knew about and we were prepared for, but we weren't prepared for his raft to flip. So his raft flipped. He lost everything. His raft went down the river. All of his packs, all of his oars, everything gone. So that includes his heart medicine, all of his clothes, everything. And we only thought this was a day trip. So like, we really didn't bring many other clothes. Like we had a couple extra shirts here and there, but that was about it. So my dad and I were able to kind of like hook onto a rock and get out of the river. And we got my uncle out because we were all luckily in our proper life jackets. And we all have like the proper training, I guess you could say, about like what to do if we end up in the water. Well, he ended up in the water. We got him out. Well, it was freezing because it was probably like fall-ish, I think. So we get him out and we're just like, he's like, my heart meds, like they're gone. He's like, we have to get out of here. Well, mind you, we're in like a canyon now because we passed the part where we thought we were going to be able to pull out. So we have all of our raft, like the two-man raft and the dog, and like everybody's fine. My uncle's sopping wet. And so we were like, okay, so my dad gives my uncle his clothes to keep him warm, to keep his heart warm, because that's what we're most concerned about is my uncle's heart. Like me and my dad will be fine. But like we are totally secluded. We don't have any sort of thing that can get us out. So blah, blah, blah. We get my uncle dry. We get my uncle warm. Well, then it falls to night. And so we are like, okay, we're spending the night out here, down here. So we get all set, whatever. Me and my dad were all huddled up together, and my dog, which literally lifesaver, was laid across my dad's chest all night to keep him warm and all that sort of stuff, which, that Wrigley, nah, different story, but amazing. I genuinely think that she saved his life that night and all that. Like, we're alive because of that dog. But it came morning and we were all okay. My uncle was like, okay, my heart's starting to feel a little bit weird. Like, we're coming up on the mark where I would take my meds. And we're like, okay, like, we got to get out of here. And so my dad, going back to my safety tips, is he had his extra paracord and he was able to kind of scale his way out of the canyon, and we were able to kind of follow up. And then it got down to my dog, and he tied some apparatus around her, like kind of all a blur, but tied her apparatus, got us all out of the canyon because my dad was able to get out. And then we found a logging road and we just started walking. And we just kept walking, and we ran into this guy driving a truck, and it was like we literally just had to stand as a barricade in the middle of this road and just pray that he would stop so we could talk to him. And he stopped and kind of was a little bit put off that, you know, we were standing in the middle of nowhere on a logging road, and there we were. And my dad like went up to the guy and just kind of explained like, hey, this is my brother-in-law. Like, my wife's going to kill me. Like, you need to get us out. Like, my wife is going to be like worried sick. So the guy, after talking to him for a while, he wasn't really on board at first. We were able to talk to him and we were able actually to make it out. And I'm here to tell the story, and my dad and uncle as well. So it all worked out, but just kind of wrapping that all up, like, that's definitely the time where I was like, holy cow, like, I'm so glad my dad and my uncle knew what they were doing out there. And from that experience, I feel like I've learned so much, and I take all those points with me.
Wow. Well, that's a story for sure. Thank you for sharing that. That was very, like, interesting, and just being able to hear that. Never heard something like that before. Thank you. Also, I just wanted to thank you again for coming out and joining me, and also having a very insightful discussion. I enjoyed it, and I'm sure my listeners will too.
Well, yeah, thank you so much for having me out here. I love talking about this stuff, and I'm happy to come back here anytime if you ever have anything else you want to chat about. This was awesome. Thank you.
And that will be all, folks, today for the Backwoods Show. Thank you all for tuning in, and I will catch you guys next week on the next episode of the Backwoods Show.